Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
You might recall that in our previous conversations regarding the Consumer Goods Council in South Africa, a strong level of focus was heightened on ensuring that you and I as consumers are able to identify consumer goods that might not be safe for consumption. Illicit goods, goods that we know have been sold perhaps in stores and spaza shops that are not registered and as a result have actually caused many South Africans to fall ill and in unfortunate circumstances, the loss of life. So far, there's been ongoing progress that the Consumer Goods Council has been doing in ensuring that we also fully understand the barcodes of the products that we actually buy from our stores, making sure that we can also safely identify products that are actually registered and safe for consumption. And most importantly now, a key development to ensure that we reduce the number of illicit goods that actually play a threat to South Africa's economy. To tell us more about this, joined by a phenomenal leader and a good friend of the show, Zinhle Tshikwe, who is the CEO of the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa, the CGCSA. Such a pleasure to have you, Zinhle.
Thank you, Gugu, for having me, and good afternoon or evening to your listeners. And I really appreciate, and I love Kaya. I've loved Kaya for a very long time.
Thank you. Yes. We appreciate it. You've taught us so much in the number of times we've spoken to you, right?
Yes.
Everything from understanding the reality of the economic challenges for business, especially on the back of load shedding, yes, or the slow economic environment. We've spoken about the innovative solutions that the CGCSA has put in place,
yeah,
specifically regarding barcodes. And now we actually are a lot more aware about our products. Yeah. But we've also going to educate us today specifically on understanding some remaining threats and concerns, yeah, when it comes to counterfeit and illegal, yes, trade.
Definitely. As part of the work that we do, because we are able to identify products in the value chain and members register their product when they buy barcodes with us. So we are seeing a lot of illicit products flooding South Africa, mm-hmm, and flooding the market. I think the greatest impact started with COVID, mm-hmm, especially within alcohol and tobacco. Currently, illicit tobacco is sitting at about more than 60%. Alcohol is still sitting at 22%, but sure, alcohol is really wary to say it's going to get to the same levels as tobacco. So, but it's not only ending there. We're seeing some illicit pharmaceutical products, mm, clothing, literally a lot of goods are flooding our market, and sometimes it's just individuals who are just thinking, I'm getting this cheap, but what is the impact? Where is it coming from? Do, yes, you know how was it produced? Especially if you're going to consume it.
Definitely. And I think that's the important aspect, right? Because some of us just think, well, it's illicit, man. This thing is just cheap. I got the afana. It's the same. Yeah. And that's not true.
No.
Help us understand actually how these products are actually defined as being illicit and why this matters, especially to us as consumers.
So illicit is multifold, because these products that are produced legitimately,
yes,
correctly, but they're not designated from a South African environment. Because they when they're producing their product, they are saying, this product, we are producing them to sell outside of South Africa, we're going to export them.
Got you.
That is called round tripping, because they leave the country and come back into the country,
mm-hmm,
without paying the necessary taxes. Because you don't pay that, you don't pay these taxes when you're taking your product out of the country.
Got you.
So when they come back cheaper because they haven't paid SARS what is due to them. Another form of illicit is just individuals who are just producing in country and they're not declaring, you know, these products to SARS. If they are, they're saying, okay, because they are formalizing now. They're becoming smarter. They have factories. We have had a number of factories that we have worked with the police on that we have found. So they have factories that are producing, but they're saying in this one is for other markets, or this one is for South Africa, but it doesn't even leave the country. It stays here. And they will declare a few, and then the other product stays here. Others are just pure criminality, where people are just going to just change the brand from a counterfeit perspective, change a little bit there and then resell it. Some it's like trucks hijacking. We have a lot of truck hijacking that we see those products then come back to the market, and then they are purchased by informal traders, and then they are sold to the market. So it's really, really bad. But on pharmaceutical in particular, because and alcohol and food and even tobacco, because we do not know those that are not produced legitimately, what is in there, what is found.
You.
So we had a session yesterday where we are told that in this, in particular alcohol, they put a high level of intoxication ethanol.
Oh.
So that is at a level where it could kill you. So really, individuals need to really understand whenever they're consuming and they continue to consume this cheap alcohol, it's deadly and they could lose their lives.
Definitely. This is so important because it actually speaks to our health and our livelihood together with the economy. As you've mentioned, illicit is such a multi-layered definition, and there's so many ways within products can be illicit and not be registered adequately. And in previous conversations when we've spoken to you, you've highlighted that you really need a multi-pronged approach with various other stakeholders in order to curb down illicit trade.
Yeah.
Where are we? Are we finding that the police and other stakeholders are coming on board? And
maybe
you can tell us who else
you've
been working with.
Definitely. There's improvement. We're working closely together with the law enforcement agencies, with the border management agency, with the police. We're part of even from just like extortion element, we're part of the National Priority Task Force on extortion at economic sites, like the construction mafias, and just extortion and kidnapping, because that's part of the... So we do a lot of work with the police, and added to that, we have relationship like Business Against Crime South Africa, where now, remember, Business Against Crime is part of the Business for South Africa bigger plan, where we engage with government. We're working closely with them. We have project of collaboration to work with them in terms of identifying. We're looking to say how can we identify train station, the bars on at the train, the rail line. We're looking to see how can we identify those products. So we're looking at that project. It's going to be great because we are doing a project in DRC where we are with the phones, like, you know, that case DRC has with Europe.
Yes.
About the where the their materials are coming from and the identification of their materials. So we're working with the government of DRC to set up the GS1 in the DRC.
That's a big deal, because I want us to actually talk about clearly it means South Africa is a market leader in the GS1 barcodes, which is the lines and the number combination, right? That you explained the last time.
In Africa, we are, definitely.
Oh, wow. Yes. So we're so good that we're actually helping other countries in establishing their barcodes.
Yeah. We have helped Namibia, we have helped Mauritius, Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda. We're working currently, because these other markets have already been set up, Uganda and the DRC. We are working with them. We started a project last year, late December, because they approached us to say we need help. They because they were... They were informed incorrectly, and then when they thought they had, they are going to be able to register their barcodes, then they found that that was not the right route. Then they came to us. Then they investigated and do their own due diligence, and then they came to us. So we've been working closely with them.
Congratulations, Isinke. That's a big deal.
It's a lot of work. I mean, I think one key thing that I think we need to recognize is the sector. Because our sector, the FMCG sector, the consumer goods package sector, is really looking at the South African, from just making sure that we are fed, the food that we consume is safe, we can track and trace, we adhere. I mean, I always say to my members, if one day we go on a strike and shut down the stores and not wake up, everybody knows South African can open a store, they're going to see the impact that we have in this economy.
Yes.
Because then you're not going to be able to get your food and get your medicine. And QSR restaurants are our members.
And quick service restaurants.
Yes, they are our members. So the work that we do is really, really important. And the members that we had, they say we really need to highlight the importance of the sector, the value of the sector, and create a sector as an employer of choice, because most of the time young people come into this sector as, no, I can't find a job, let me go be a waiter, or let me go and be a cashier and things like that. But there's really, really good opportunities for employment. You can start as a cashier, and if you like, we have worked with the CETA, we have a career path thing to say where can you start, what training can you do to improve in within the value chain. So it's a really, really good, important sector for the country.
Definitely. I want us to come back to that in just a moment in terms of education, skills and development. But there's a key theme that you're also highlighting, which is the importance of our health and our safety as South Africans, especially when it comes to the stuff that we consume.
Yes.
You touched on pharmaceuticals, you touched on food. And funny, yesterday we spoke to the National Consumer Commission, and I'm trying to align this with the previous food bans we had, right?
Yeah.
Kit Kat, peanut butter, the Panado syrup that was influencing children.
Yeah.
Are you finding that big business, the FMCGs themselves, are cooperating with institutions like the NCC, but we also are. Yourself as a consumer goods council, we to are. Be open and transparent with the goods they make?
We have been going to the NCC for a very long time to showcase the value of the standards, of the GS1 standard, and the value that it's doing to the sector. And I must just be grateful to the acting commissioner currently, because in the last engagement that we had, SAPRA, from the pharmaceutical perspective, there's a regulation that is out for public comment that says the GS1 standard must be used for any medication that is produced in South Africa. So SAPRA has led the way, and we're doing that. So, you know, for every single product that is produced must have a GS1 barcode.
Gotcha.
So that's one part. So on the National Consumer Commission, because now that governs mostly of the consumable products that we are having, we have been engaging with them. So the current acting commissioner he said it in a public platform where we're at BUSA, and you know, he raised this himself without being provoked, and I was there and I was like, I'm here.
Right?
Yeah. So, and I think even the CEO of BUSA did say that there's the custodians of the barcode, they are here, so we can make sure that that works. So they are looking to say whenever they're doing product recalls, they say in their regulations that you need to have a barcode. It still works. I said to him, you can't just say a barcode. You need to say GS1 barcode.
Yes.
He's like, no, it's progress. I mean, I said, fine, I'm going to continue advocating for the standard so that you can see the value. But it's a global item identifier that you need to have, which is what this barcode does, because you can track your product anywhere in the world.
Definitely. And I think this is so important. The next time we actually do look at barcodes, the lines together with the number combination essentially tell you, and as you said the last time, you can track where it's produced, who's the manufacturer, what date or timeline was this actually produced in. And that gives us the certainty to be able to say, okay, this heightens the level of transparency, but also safety for the foods and other consumables that we happen to intake. I want us to tie it back into the theme of illicit goods, and I'll also call for voice notes from our listeners, because I know a lot of them are quite vocal about illicit goods in the South African market. So 0636880959 is where you can share your voice notes too. And I ask this as well, Sisinka, because as you've mentioned, there's a multi-pronged approach to reduce the level of illicit trade and goods in the South African market. But the reality, unfortunately, is that South Africans are still buying and consuming these goods at times.
It's a sad reality, and it's just so unfortunate. But what we are really advocating for, we have, I said the last time, we have the app it's on Apple Store as well as Android. It's my CGCSA app, where you can download it, you can scan your product, and you can see who's the brand owner. That's the first point.
Yes.
But on the illicit work, so the work that you are doing to improve security as well of the barcode, is that we are globally we're moving the barcode to a 2D barcode. So soon we're not going to be seeing the lines, you're going to be just seeing the 2D barcode, like a QR code similar. So because that is more secured than the current barcode, because that one is where then people can copy and duplicate it. We have found a lot of products, retailers have given us a lot of product that have duplicated barcodes, because they, when they go to the system, they see this barcode doesn't belong to this product, to this owner, and the packaging of it, obviously everything is wrong. So
they've taken it further. It's not just fake. I recall there was a doctor on social media, and he had the 012345. So it's gone from being fake to actually duplicating
it. But then, because retailers and those individuals who want to take it to the retailers are going to be able to identify and say, no, this is not the right barcode. But if you go to the informal sector, then they would not know. So that's one thing. But that is why it's important that we put the app on the hands of the consumer. Even the police were working with them for the identification of the barcode, because before we had the app, they used to phone us in and say, this is the barcode, send us a picture, then we verify. So we saw that there was a need that we put it in their hands. So it's in their hands. Border management and the policing law enforcement agencies have been testing our barcode and piloting it, and they've given us some insight. So we've improved it. They've given another update, because I had said to the team, why are we having iPhone 16 They started at one. They are improving all the time. So why do we have to wait for a perfect product to send it out? So it's still work in progress because we're getting a feedback from the police. They're saying, you know what, because within the app you can report a crime, you can report illicit products that you suspect and you can scan. So police have said to us, you know what, this is what we need to improve on. This is what is going to be a hindrance for us to be able to continue with the prosecution. So we've been just evolving with that app.
Definitely. Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing how this does develop. When will the app be launched, or is it already
out? Already launched. It's out. We're on version 2, if I may put it that way.
So. Oh, I love it. So, yeah. Again, available on any app store.
Yeah, App Store and Apple. Apple and Android, the Play Store.
Got you. Then you can actually use that to actually the app to scan the QR code and double check where it's
from. So that was very important because, especially with Apple, they needed to verify and make sure that we really can report a crime with the police. So police gave us a letter of, if I say reference, if you have to say, yes, we have a partnership with this organization, this app is going to be able to assist us in this manner. So that was done. So that is why it's sitting in those platforms.
100%. Yes. Sure. If you've just joined us, we're having a phenomenal conversation with Zinhle Tshikwe, who is the CEO of the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa. That's the CGCSA. And as you can tell, having a clear conversation around how we can reduce the flow of counterfeit and illicit goods within the South African market. It is a threat to our economy, but more so a threat to our health as well. But the CGCSA has certainly been on ongoing efforts to make sure that we reduce the criminality that's involved within consumer goods and also put the power in our hands as consumers to get verification on the products and services that we buy. We've been calling for your voice notes and so many of you have begun to share some feedback. We'll get a question in just a moment from Mahadi, but we also have a voice note as well from Mtunzi. Let's take a listen.
In Kulma, I'm illicit goods. I live in a very harsh reality. It's not even the goods, it's what they put in them. You know, they target specific people by looking. You can go to the shop, put your thing or something, buy coupe, buy forget something. So this topic really, really hits home, and it's such an inconvenience living in a community where people know advanced technology, they know advanced biotech. I mean, even at the Pakistan store, they sell you something that has chemicals that can alter your freaking DNA.
Got you. Ooh, that was a voice note from Umthokozisi raising some significant concerns that many of us as South Africans have, right? Just in terms of the lack of safety in some of these illicit goods. Your feedback, Sisinke?
It's really, Umthokozisi, I think he's touching on really key and critical points, which is why you need to know who's the brand owner. And when you do those product recalls, and if you suspect anything, which, like Umthokozisi, if you're listening, you really need to download the app because, you know, products that have the proper barcode, we can track and trace them anywhere in the world.
Yes.
So we have 2 million companies that are listing their product globally on this app, on the registries that we have that are global registries that we got the information on. Because, I mean, really, we need to be aware. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like a friend of mine sent me this to say this is an issue of food. I said, but when are we going to give the community the responsibility? We have seen a lot of challenges. Communities need to take that responsibility and stop viewing. I'm not saying every cheap product is fake or illicit or counterfeit, but just be aware of what you take and you consume.
Exactly.
That's why this app is really going to be impactful and important for them, for us as communities too. And it's a good conversation starter for me. I'm like, oh,
definitely.
Do you know that?
Because you're quite right. It helps put the power in our hands if you know that, okay, the goods that I bought at my friend's shop are actually not from the original manufacturers, then I'll go to another store. So we do need to put in a little bit more effort in taking that responsibility.
Yes.
I want us to repeat the app. It's My CGCSA app. Yeah. And it's the one, it has an image of a security camera.
Yes.
Essentially my Consumer Goods Council app. And it is available, as you mentioned, Android and Apple.
Yes.
So do download it, please. Mtokozisi, make sure you do. As long as you've got a smartphone, you'll be able to actually download the app. And through scanning the barcode, that's where you'll be able to or verify where the products are made. The name of the app again, My CGCSA app. That's My Consumer Goods Council South Africa app. Yes. We have another question. Yes, Sisinhle. Yeah, we're keeping you busy tonight. I'm loving it though.
I'm loving it too.
Fantastic. This one is from Mahadi and specifically speaks to the barcodes. And maybe we do need to provide clarity here on the GS1 barcodes. It says, hi, Kuku. Ask the CGCSA lady Sisinkle, why can't they provide 5 barcodes? They provide 1, from there there's 10. I only have 3 products and can buy 3 online for half the price, even though they don't start with 600 rand. Maybe we need to get clarity first here around the barcodes and if you are responsible for selling them, because I know that there's a website that deals with
we do have. Okay, let me just clarify. So GS1 is a global organization started in 1973. In South Africa it came in 1982. So I mean, like any improvement. So GS1 had a batch of numbers that discontinued. Mm-hmm. Now there is more secured numbers because those numbers were not secured. So there's more secured numbers that started to be issued. So in South Africa, we just started with the more secured numbers with the 600 or 601 prefix.
Yes.
So the barcodes that you can buy online, those we call them online resellers. They are reselling old barcodes that are mostly owned by individuals that are in America, not in South Africa. So whenever you get that...
Any reason why they're in America?
Because, I mean, that's where it started.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's where it started because the first scan of the barcode happened with the chewing gum in America, in Ohio or something. In
You're giving us a lovely history lesson here. I'm going to read up on this again.
Yes. So that's why they're there. And I mean, they are reselling these barcodes. They're not going to be yours. If you scan it, it's going to tell you it's owned by an organization in America. That is why then the listener will never going to be able to list their product at a retailer. We do have some independent retailers. I don't want to mention who are part of our members, but their business model is more on franchising. They are more a logistics business, so they have independent retailers. They're not a franchise business. Because if you're a franchise business, there's terms that you can say, this is what you need to adhere to. But the one that do the independent retailers, we have seen, but we're doing some work with them, with Stats SA, where we're going to just tighten that. Mm-hmm. So those barcode retailers, they're going to say, okay, we can, your barcode is incorrect, but we can fix it. Mm. You know, the retail, like, you know, because there's independent retailers, they just want to bring the products in. But we are working with Stats SA, they have approached us, and we the CEO of this retailer has said to us, let's do the work, let's sign an MOU with the Stats SA so that we can tighten all the product from that retailer.
Gotcha.
But again, I think their biggest challenge is that because they have independent retailers who sometimes want to just get as cheap as possible products into the store and sell those.
I see. So for the entrepreneur who wants to get a barcode, register their product, so instead of just buying a barcode online, what's the best process to follow?
So go to our website, www.gs1za.org. That's where you're going to find the barcode. Yes, we do have one. We do have 10 batch numbers and then 100 and then 100,000 because we have big members, like they can buy, you know, because they can buy as many of the big manufacturers. So I think for us to advise, I mean, each barcode has its own metrics for that particular product. What product are you going to put in this? The metrics, we need to say the measurements and the size and all of those things and the brand and, you know, so for each barcode. So you need to get that information. So, but otherwise, just come to us. We will be able to look at what is your business model looking like? What are your really your requirements? Then we can advise you on how to move forward.
100%. Go to the Consumer Goods Council website. That's where you'll get clear direction. SABarcodes.co.za, that's something else, completely different. Go directly to the Consumer Goods Council. We've got a few more. Mahadi comes back. He says, but I only need 3, not 10. But that's the point, Mahadi, because you're actually looking for 3 instead of 10. That's a limited number. And the truth is, barcodes are unique to products that you make on scale, volume, mass. Yeah. Think of like
but
shampoo
we can,
or products.
Like Mahadi, just come to us. My team is definitely listening. I'm hoping they are. We can work with you. And then, I mean, like, there's opportunities for you to grow. So if we have to, then you can buy 111 because we sell the one barcode.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Mahadi, I saw your WhatsApp. I'm hoping that you are content. Give us a thumbs up, please. Keep the message. Oh, yay. Did you see that? It just popped up.
Yeah.
Perfect. We have another voice note that's come through from 10 Bar. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Gugu and Sintle. This is Temba here from Centurion. Okay. Thank you for the app. I didn't know about this. I actually just downloaded it myself. I get home, I'm going to actually check the operation of this of this app. But my question is actually around this whole issue about illicit goods. So I can understand illicit goods when it comes to informal trading, but how do illicit goods make it to big stores such as Spar? I think that's one example that I remember was I saw a video of a trending issue with regards to alcohol of illicit goods. How does it make it there? Because according to me, we shouldn't even get into a point where Spar has, I think for lack of a better word, yes, illicit goods. Because now we're talking now, you know, this is a big store. So how does it make it there? Because now it makes us question the credibility of the actual brand. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's a question from Temba. Temba, thank you so much. Appreciate your question and such valid points. Also, kudos to you for downloading the app. Put it to good use and give us feedback, because the CGCSA team is always open to it.
Definitely.
But Sis Zinke, key question that he listed there. Illicit products on big retailer shelves.
Yeah. Spar is our member. Their business model is... it's not franchising, is allowing independent retailers to use their brand.
I see what you mean.
Yes, so they're not franchising. They're not like, all of these. Spar does not have even a corporate store. Spar's business is distribution, warehousing, and moving of goods.
So in other words, Gugu and Zinke can say, I've got a couple of hundred million or thousands or whatever it is to actually open up this retail store. I go to Spar, I ask for their license and their branding.
Yes.
So in as much as I'm using the name Spar, but Gugu and Zinke in their independent capacity own the store and they take the decisions as to which products they want to put on the shelves.
Definitely. So they make those decisions. So that is why we need to really tighten those gaps, because that is where one of the biggest challenges that we have had. We have had a number of these individual retailers where Spar has asked us to assist them to identify and get them, you know, identify the products. We've done that, and we have opened cases. So some of these independent retailers where we have found in particular illicit alcohol and that process, and Spar takes away their license or to you. So that's the work that we're doing. But I think I did mention, so now I think it's out in the open. So we're working at StatsSA, and we're going to be working with Spar just to tighten that and make sure that the independent retailers understand the guidelines and their standards to follow, and they follow it. So that's the work that you're going to be doing.
100%. Yes. Thank you so much for giving us some detail into that question, because I think a lot of South Africans now have a better perspective as to, you know, how these things to work and why they remain so critical. Sis Zinke, I'm sure many more questions are going to come up, as well as other voice notes, which we'll keep on following through with. But I also want us just to amplify the ongoing efforts that you've taken as the Consumer Goods Council in South Africa to remain globally competitive. And this speaks to the various conferences you attend, partnerships and alignments, as you said, helping countries like the DRC and Namibia and other peers on the continent with their barcodes. You are a consistent traveler. And I understand you're off to China next week. Help us understand what you'll be doing there and why this matters to your organization.
So China is one of the good examples of what barcodes have done in China. So China, the government of China, unlike South Africa, government of China says any product produced in China must have a GS1 China barcode. And hence South Africa is not law. So we have seen a number of SMMEs going to produce in China and come back with the barcode from China, and then they try to put it in. You know, we have work that we do with the Proudly SA, and then you know we identify those products, and then when you scan it, it's owned by a manufacturer in China.
Gosh.
It's not saying that product is illicit or counterfeit. It's a correct product, but it's just from the ownership, and then they imagine manufacturers and retail maybe not retailers, they want to get their products on into our stores. And retailers can't put them because from a track and trace and the recall, they're never going to be able to, because they're not going to put your details. They're going to put the details of who's the manufacturer.
Yes.
And you'll find that it's totally different, the address, because the law is you need to have your address as a manufacturer on the product in the label. So that is what where the challenge is. So we have we have engaged with GS1. China is part of BRICS, and they are happy to engage with us. So we're going to be signing an MOU to say we need to fix that. So that's how I found out, because I said to them, but this is a challenge we're having. We find a lot of SMMEs, and I couldn't understand why the manufacturers in China could not just put Google or Zintle.
Yes.
They say, no, our laws are saying. So I'm saying, let's find ways of how we can fix that, because they're going to go to China. It's more economical to produce in China. So we need to say, because then what is important for if you want to go and produce in China, you need to tell, because they'll buy the barcodes for you and package everything for you. You need to tell them it's not designed for the market in China. It's designed for the South African market. So that's the work that you're doing. So we're signing a memorandum of understanding on the project that you're going to be working with GS1 China, that we can be able to track and trace China's product catalog is huge.
Yes.
So we need to be really able to tap into that, so that when they do come into the market, we are able to track and trace it.
Definitely. I find this so refreshing, because then it closes the loop within that ecosystem to make sure that, yes, we can partner.
Yeah.
We are aware that from a grand scale of things, China is a very significant trading partner to South Africa, great manufacturing hub as well for economies of scale, but we can still make sure that we prioritize the safety of our consumer goods. Sisinkle, we've touched on so much, and I'm excited that we've gotten the feedback from Umthokozisi, Mokgadi, as well as Themba. But I guess as we conclude this conversation, the key takeaways that we need to remember as South Africans when it comes to fake goods, instead of just saying, yes, it's cheaper, or, ah, my friend is closest, remind us of the power we also have in our hands and the responsibility to
definitely
fight against these goods.
You know, one key thing, Gugu, that I just want to share, we are in a country that is struggling to grow economically. We have our unemployment just rising. Our members are spending a lot of time putting measures in place and controls in place to just be able to survive because of illicit and crime in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I was asked yesterday to say, what do I want to see about this? How the success and the growth of the crime seminar. I said, I don't want to see that grow, because it means that crime is not, we're not winning on the crime element in the country. So I don't want to have another one, because we need to fix the crime. But because if members are now spending money on securing their properties and securing their assets and employing individuals now who are coming with strategies and all of these, I mean, like our security, private security companies are thriving in South Africa.
Yeah.
And that's not an accept. I'm not saying it's not a good business. Mm. It is a good business, but it's not acceptable, because as a country, that's funds that industry could be spending to build more stores, manufacturing plants, and creating employment. We have not built a factory in this country since 2012. We are just consuming. Our economy just consuming. We are a consuming economy. And we're spending more time bringing products that we don't even produce them here in South Africa into our market, and we continue. So I just want South Africans to understand the impact of continuing to support this sector. You making individuals that are untoward richer because they're not paying taxes.
Mm.
And if they were, we want everybody to pay taxes, because then SARS is going to have the funds, government's going to have the funds that they need, you know, to do that. So besides your health, which is really critical, and your safety, just think about the economy of this country. How do we grow it, and how do we close this big gap that we have in our fiscal?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sis Zinkle, our conversation has been so fantastic. We are squeezing in another voice note that we have. This one is from Pablo.
Globally competitive.
Good evening, Kuku and Zinkle. It's this topic, ne? Hi. Nice one. It's Themba from Soweto, ne? What I want to know is, when it comes to these illicit products, ne? These people that do this illicit one, these illicit products. Okay.
So China, the government of China, and
let me say. They do an illicit offer product that's known, like an alcoholic brand that's known, and they copy like the barcode and everything, ne. And if Vele, when I fan of that brand or whatever, and you know how it tastes, obviously. From the outside, you can't see. Maybe you can see by, if it's a bottle, you can see. So what happens if they even copy the barcode, ne, of that same brand? Does the original owner of that certain brand get fined or what? What happens? I would like to know.
Got you. Okay, Pablo. So,
asking a key question. So, I mean, he's covered all the things that you need to be vigilant about the taste, about the look of the product, and, yes, you know, all of those things. So he's covered that. That's exactly what you need to do. You need to report that, because then, and you know, the good thing, you know where you bought it. So you need to report it and tell us, where did you buy that product?
Yes.
Because then the brand owner needs to be aware of that their products have been counterfeited. One big challenge that we have with illicit and just the prosecution of it is that the systems in South Africa are still not really tightened up a bit, because we as an industry association, we can't go in and lay a charge to say this is the product for, so that it can be a bigger challenge. So they want individual brand owner to report a criminal and open a case, then now it's at a small scale. And you find that the penalties, people get arrested and the penalties are like 1,500, and these people have a lot of money. They can just pay 1,500. So we're talking to the NPA to say we really need to really tighten in terms of how we can report. We can then, as an industry, open a case for the industry.
Yes.
Because we know some of these producers, we know where they are, and we do share that with the police. But then, you know, the laws, you need to have a comprehensive law, like you can't just go into a warrant. You need to have those warrants, and then you need to have suspicion, but suspicion can only be coming through South Africans who's going to report it.
Exactly. Yes. And actually providing proof then as well, as a consequence of that on scale, in terms of the volume as well.
Yes.
So Sinclair, I'm excited. These are the conversations we like to get. If I can show you the WhatsApp line, we actually have a lot more responses to the voice notes as well, so let's go back to them. I just want to open up the voice note line for just a moment, because there was feedback that we also got from Pablo, and Temba. He actually said he was impressed with the answer and is very happy in terms of the feedback that we gave him. If I'm not mistaken, we have another voice note from Manda. So let's go to that one.
So I've got a few concerns. So the app that you're talking about may help us, those of us who are able to use it. But my concern is those ones who are not able to use it. Gogos, and more importantly, our kids, who are the ones who have died recently because of buying things from you know, the foreign shops. Why do we still have these shops operational when they are selling illicit goods? Because there should be some kind of a penalty, and the penalty should be the shop should close down.
So I think that's a key question. So with regards to the Gogos, we've zero rated the app, so it can be at no cost downloaded. So we're hoping that
the only thing is you do need a smartphone though.
Yes, so that's the only one. So we're hoping the grandchildren can help the Gogos. That's the first part. On the part where about the spaza shops are not why they're not being closed and the like, so that one, that is why government said spaza shop must be registered.
Yes,
you know, the registration has not been going so well, because obviously spaza shops are not owned by individuals that are here in South Africa. There's rules of what you need to be able as a foreigner to register your business here in South Africa. There's a lot of steps you need to tick before you can register and say you're bringing a business into South Africa. So that's where the problem is. But I think now, when we're talking to Net Joints, who's responsible for the spaza shop registration, now it's going to be an enforcement. We have seen a number of them being closed.
Yes.
But it's, I mean, again, you know, the solution is that registration that is really going to be important. But, you know, it's a huge market. I mean, informal sector in South Africa, from what my members sometimes tell me, especially my manufacturing members, they say, you know what, it's our biggest market.
Oh.
You know, so that's where we are able, rather than the formal market. So we really need to assist them to do the work. So we do work with the CETA to train and you know, the smallest mamas and papas shops. So yes, we're doing that. But the registration really needs to happen and get the certification of acceptability from the municipalities. So there's lots of challenges because municipalities as well are not capacitated.
Yes.
So it's just a big conundrum that as a country we have to resolve.
And I think what you're reminding us of here is that your organization has the intention, it's got the follow through, it's got the mandate, it's got the necessary capacity as well to try to ensure that it entrenches itself. But you can't do it alone.
No.
We need everybody on board, from the municipalities to the registration of spaza shops, the police on board. Nabokuku, to download and verify the app and actually tell our families, this product is not the one you should be having.
Definitely.
Let's make sure we go to a different store.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Sisinke,
for
encouraging
me,
us, for educating us. I'm going to read up on barcodes.
Yeah.
You've tickled my brain cells on that one, because I think there's so much to learn about that. But a reminder, as was mentioned, the Consumer Goods Council can assist you with barcodes for various products that you need. Be mindful of alternative website that might be out there, because those barcodes would not be registered to South Africa. It would be another jurisdiction, another country where multiple products could actually lead you to. So rather go directly to the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa. I'm assuming even if you're not a member, you can assist them and guide them, or do they need to be members?
No. We help and guide every South African, because that's where when we established, we were established by big business.
Yes.
And we've been for big business for a very long time, but now we're seeing this gap of where we need to really get into the SMME sector.
Definitely.
Yes.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. So visit their website. Please be mindful of that. Also, as mentioned, the app, My Consumer Goods Council, available on all the major app stores, essentially Google Play as well as Apple. My CGC CSA app, you can use an option there to actually verify barcodes to ensure that the products are true and correct. Sis Sinclair, this is why I love speaking to you. We've all learned so much, not just myself, Mthokozisi, Mahadi, Temba, Pablo, so many of them, of us have actually learned so much. So thank you again
for your time.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Fantastic.
Yes, thank you so much.
All the best with your travels and, of course, your initiatives. And we look forward to having you back again.
Yes.
That's the CEO of the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa, Sinclair Chikwe.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.